listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Let's get it started, guys, because we have a pivotal Game 5 matchup coming up later on tonight, 8:30 Eastern time on TNT. It's the Raptors. It's the Bucks. The series is tied at 2 games apiece. It's in Milwaukee. The momentum seems to be with Toronto, and many in the media say that these are equal teams. But what does Vegas think?
Vegas strongly disagrees with these being equal teams. Let's look at the point spread for tonight's game. Milwaukee is laying 7.5, Jonas. So to put that in perspective, games 1 and 2, Milwaukee was home. Milwaukee was a 6.5-point favorite. So Vegas actually is more optimistic about Milwaukee this game. That's why they're laying -7.5. And if you look at the series odds, going into the series, Toronto was about a -275 favorite, risk 275 to win 100. So if you bet Toronto, you're happy, right? You're 2-2-2, you're exceeding expectations. Those odds should be lower, right? No, they're exactly the same. Toronto is still a -275 prohibitive favorite to win the series.
Now, Jonas, your favorite Joe, you have the fans' perspective.
Yeah.
Does that sound right to you that Milwaukee right now, game 5, is laying a bigger point spread than what they were in game 1 and game 2? Even though the series and everyone out there in the media is talking, hey, tie series, Toronto's got the momentum. Does that sound right to you?
Now, there's a 2-point answer to this question. All right, now let's pretend that it's August, last August. Now ask me that question.
It's last August, okay. Jonas. Does this sound right to you? I mean, that Milwaukee's a bigger favorite now in Game 5 than what they were in Game 1 and Game 2?
Absolutely not. I just saw the previous 2 games. What the hell are you talking about? You're nuts. I thought you were the professional here, Brad. Now, fast forwarded all these months later, now that I've worked around you guys, yeah, it sounds about right. Yeah, this seems like Milwaukee's the better team. Milwaukee, despite all the what you've just seen, the recency bias, the momentum, all that stuff, you cannot forget the fact that Toronto gassed themselves to try and get this game. I'm fascinated to see how this game goes just based on that alone. I want to see what Toronto's like, what kind of shape they're in going into this, because I think we could be looking at a rout here.
Yeah, and here's what I want to get at, Fez. We talk about this a lot in the NBA playoffs. It's the zigzag. One team's going to be more motivated than the other. Believe it or not, I mean, even though it's the playoffs and you think, hey, I mean, it's win or go home for a lot of these teams. Every game matters. This is the money spots for these teams. Forget the regular season. And yet we see drastic moves in the lines from game to game to game. How much do you value this being a good spot for Milwaukee, and how much do you think the market's evaluating that, Fez?
Well, I think I like it, the spot for Milwaukee, and certainly the market's like it. And let's talk about why it's a good spot. So Milwaukee obviously gets crushed game 4. Milwaukee, throughout the year, they only got blown out 6 times during the course of the season. All 6 times, they won and covered the next game after losing by double digits. Now, the concern is, hey, they did lose by double digits. Is there a reason that they got crushed by Toronto? And a big reason why they played so badly, Milwaukee, in Game 4 is bench play. Toronto, Freddie VanVleet had a baby, and then they went out and had a tremendous game along with Ibaka, along with Powell, that whole bench for Toronto that's playing. So should we be concerned about that? Not at all. Toronto's bench has been terrible in the playoffs. They've had the second worst scoring from their bench throughout the playoffs. Milwaukee's bench has been far superior. Milwaukee's bench was far superior. Games 1, 2, and 3, I look at Game 4 as more of an average.
And we don't want to use too much point value. Is this something that's only worth a point? Because, I mean, Fez, we've seen these line moves in the NBA playoffs, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think we're seeing bigger line moves now, at least in this season, in the past couple seasons, than when we ever had before. I mean, saw a 5.5-point swing from game 3 to game 4. Is this something where you think the market might be saying, hey, we upgraded Toronto a little bit after that blowout win, but this situation is a 2-3-point factor?
I don't think that Toronto got that big of an upgrade, maybe a slight upgrade. But frankly, let's go back to last game. Toronto at home. Toronto was home. Toronto was catching 3 points. So think about this. Milwaukee on the road was laying 3, and Milwaukee has 1 bad game. And now the narrative by many in the media are saying, oh, these are equal teams. Clearly, they weren't equal 48 hours ago. They were like 7 points apart when you adjust 4 for home court. How did they suddenly become equal?
And you just spoke equal. We have another market, at least, that's being offered a look ahead so far. And you believe it or not, Jonas, you can already bet the NBA Finals series. Who's going to win? Is it going to be the Warriors or the Raptors or the Warriors and the Bucks? And that market also is saying, hey, Milwaukee is clearly the better team. What are those odds, Fed?
Yeah, so Golden State's going to be favored regardless of who they play, and Golden State will not have the home court advantage. So we're comparing apples to apples here. But if Golden State plays Milwaukee, Golden State will be a minus 210 favorite. Have to risk $210 to win 100. Contrast that with their odds against Toronto. Golden State is minus 400, twice as large almost against Toronto, a much bigger favorite.
If you guys were to, and maybe this just comes down to a simple answering this question. This series is tied up two games apiece. Like we're saying, a lot of people in the media are calling these teams dead even, but the numbers would prove differently. I guess maybe the question is, the method of victory for each team, they both got two wins, which is more likely to happen again? And to me, it feels like Milwaukee's method of victory is more likely to happen again. As much as Fez loves Van Fleet, and I can't even pronounce his name. I keep putting an F there instead of a V. Two Vs in the last name screws me up. But as much as he loves him, that hasn't been the guy that we've seen all playoffs. So, and asking you guys, don't have a dog in the fight, not a fan of either team, just looking at the numbers, looking at the style of play. I'll start with you, Brad. Whose method of victory so far in this series is more likely to happen again?
Well, we like to look at sample size. And Colin's starting to use this language, sample size. I'm not going to overreact to just one game. What I do like is we got a full season Milwaukee being really good after a loss. Now, this is only the second time, believe it or not, the second time this season Milwaukee's coming off back-to-back losses. So typically, Milwaukee's been strong after a poor performance. And Fez already mentioned it, particularly after a big loss, Milwaukee's responded well. So I'm agreeing with Fez. I think it's more likely Milwaukee that success can be more sustainable. And keep in mind, and RJ kind of brought this up, I think, during our podcast last night. What is the perception as far as the media goes if Milwaukee makes another free throw in game three and this series is 3-1 with Milwaukee looking to close out tonight? What would the media narrative be there if Milwaukee just hit one more free throw and that game doesn't go to a double overtime?
Yeah, I just think if you look at this, I mean, but that's the problem. So many people take it one game at a time, and because you've got a game in between game three and game four, and then game four and game five, we just overanalyze and overthink it. It turns into recapping an NFL game. Sometimes teams show up flat, and it gives you a whole week to play Monday morning quarterback when it comes to that. All right, guys, so another aspect to this, straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio, is Kawhi Leonard's status. Now, there's been talks of a quad injury. There's been, he just looks a little bit fatigued. Some teammates have had comments about it. But Steve Fezzik, we actually have seen this play out in sports on a big-time stage back in late January in Atlanta. Please explain.
That's right. Super Bowl Todd Gurley, MVP candidate, was having a great year, was rushing for just under 100 yards per game. And all of a sudden, mysteriously, CJ Anderson got called off the couch and was getting half of the carries at the very end of the year and into the playoffs. And we're all asking, what is going on? And we were told, oh, Gurley's fine. He was not on the injury report. McVay said he's fine. Gurley said he's fine. And yet his usage drops precipitously. And then only after the Super Bowl is there talk about his knee not being right. Clearly, we did not get the full disclosure with Gurley. I'm wondering if we're getting the full disclosure with Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, and I mean, even after game four, Kyle Lowry's talking about, yeah, we knew Kawhi was going to be limited tonight, so each of us had to pick up our game. Jonas, I mean, I'm reading the NBA regulations, the rules here, as far as the injury report.
By the way, can you prove it, please? Can you put the paper on the mic just to prove it? One of the old school radio tricks, just, all right, God, it's so good.
Yeah, I'm reading it right now, and, you know, this is the NBA injury report regulations. It says here that teams are required to report injuries 5 o'clock the day before a game, and they're going to put on the injury report whether that player is probable, questionable, doubtful, or out. Was Kawhi on that game four?
He was not.
Not at all.
Not at all.
But yet Kyle Lowry after the game is saying, hey, we knew he was going to be limited. That sounds like, you know, not an injury that happened during the game. We knew coming in that Kawhi was going to be limited. Why is he not on the injury report?
Danny Green says that quad injury still lingers with him, but he's not on the report.
And Jonas, this brings up a big point, and RJ mentioned this, and I agree with him. And this was right after the Super Bowl, the Todd Gurley stuff. Sooner or later, with all the regulation that's going on and more legalization with state after state after state, I got to think that someone's going to bring up a lawsuit and say, hey, I had money on this game and you weren't giving me the correct information. I mean, we talk about integrity, league integrity. That's been a big word here. How can I trust that game? How can I trust any of my bets? How can I do any of that if you're not giving me the correct information, Jonas?
Yeah, I just wonder, though, how can you find out that a team is lying? How can they not say, well, listen, something popped up pregame, while he was in shoot around, everything was fine before then. It feels like there's so many loopholes in this. I agree with you. It's like buying something from the store and you find out when you take it home, it's not 100% or it's broken or malfunctions a little bit. You'd go back and say, hey, can I get a return? Do you think sportsbooks are going to be willing to take a deep enough dive into an investigation like this to say, you know what, we want to be on the up and up. You guys got screwed. Here's your money back. We please hope that you play with us again.
Now, we could probably do a whole show on this. I think, obviously, there's ways around it. You'll have guys like Belichick that'll just put everyone probable or whatnot. There's different ways. All I'm arguing is, hey, if there's going to be something, he should at least be on it. Whether you think you put probable and the reality is he's more doubtful or out, that's one thing. You need to have a guy like this on it to begin with. And I get it, Jonas. Say, hey, something happened in pregame. That's where you come in with the regulations where you actually document these guys. If they're a habitual offender, like I would already say, hey, McVay and the Rams didn't report something in the past, and now we're having, this is happening once or twice a season, again and again and again, then that's where you come up with the penalties, Fez.
Yeah, and like Todd Gurley, whose numbers were falling off precipitously at the end of the year, we're certainly seeing that with Kawhi Leonard, who was outstanding early in the playoffs, was shooting almost 60%, making half of his threes his last four games. Kawhi's only hitting 42% from the field, and he's only hitting 14% of his threes.
Now, we saw this last year in the finals with LeBron, correct, Brad?
We did. All of a sudden, LeBron's not on the injury report, but we come to find out afterwards that LeBron punched a chalkboard prior to game, broken hand. LeBron at that time was the most valuable player in the NBA. He was worth 6 points to a line. So, yeah, he's still playing, but if he's not 100%, that's a couple of points. We're talking the NBA Finals where every half point matters. Yeah, this is going to be an ongoing issue.
Which, by the way, I call BS on that. Nobody's got a chalkboard anymore. It's all a whiteboard. The idea that they've still got chalkboards in an arena in the NBA makes no sense at all. It'd be like if your buddy said, sorry, man, I dropped my pager in the toilet. That's why I'm late. Well, I called you on your lie right away. Nobody
Did
has a pager anymore.
Did you use that excuse last week, Charles?
Yeah, I mean, that's the move. You got to look, you got to tell her something, Brad. If you show up late, you got to tell her something. She's not going to believe the old tricks.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's get into the Kevin Durant situation. A lot of people are wondering about his status. Steve Kerr updated Kevin Durant's status earlier today and said unlikely to be available for the start of the NBA Finals. And so as we do anytime there is an injury of this importance, we go to somebody with zero qualifications to discuss the injury. And that somebody is Steve Fezzik, MD. Fez, your thoughts on the Kevin Durant injury?
So there's three different grades of calf strains that you can have. Durant has a calf strain, and we have not heard what grade it is. But we can rule out grade one, Jonas, because the recovery time is 7 to 10 days. So Kevin Durant went out back on May 8th. So he would be back and healthy by now if it was a grade one. So that means it's either a grade two or a grade three. Grade three apparently basically puts you in a wheelchair for a while. You're out for 3 months. So it's likely it is indeed a grade two calf strain. The recovery time, 4 to 6 weeks. So guess what? If we go ahead and look at May 8th as the time of the injury, 4 weeks from then is right around the time of games 3 and 4, June 5th and June 7th. So optimistically, that would be likely the earliest he would return if he does indeed have the grade 2 calf strain. And if he does come back, that's pushing the envelope, coming back right at that 4 week mark with the typical recovery time, 4 to 6 weeks.
Well, I know his thumbs are 100% because he's got an ongoing feud with our own Chris Broussard here. So I wouldn't worry about that. So he has been active. Just not on the basketball court. All right, so then all jokes jokes aside, now that we see that he's, you know, unlikely for the start of the NBA Finals, and who knows, depending on the severity and his recovery time and all that, and especially how long this series goes between the Toronto Raptors and the Milwaukee Bucks, Fez, how can you take advantage of Kevin Durant's status and correlate that into an MVP bet that you can place?
Yeah, so I think an excellent bet to make, and it's hard to find, Jonas. Not many books have this up, but there are odds at least a few books. Who is going to be the MVP in the NBA Finals? And I know that a buddy of mine was able to bet Curry plus 200, 2-1 to be the MVP. Now, think about this. If Durant is very likely going to miss half of the NBA series and certainly games 1 and 2, all of a sudden Curry becomes the clear-cut favorite to be the MVP, and he was plus 200, an outstanding bet.
And think about this, Jonas. Right now, Milwaukee, no matter who they play, whether or Golden State, no matter if they play Milwaukee or Toronto, a significant favorite, either minus 200 or minus 400. Bet $2 to win a buck, $4 to win a buck. And if Golden State wins the MVP, who is going to be the MVP? If Kevin Durant's out, it's got to be Steph. Oh, by the way, and here's why I really like this bet, and I'll concur with Fezzik MD here. I think there's going to be at least some, let's keep in mind, Steph Curry's never won a Finals MVP, yep. So there's going to be some sentiment already going into it that maybe we should give Steph Curry an MVP. That's whether or not he deserves it this season or not, Fez.
Yeah, so all things being equal, let's say Draymond Green has the finals of his life. He's been playing really well, and Curry plays great as well, and Golden State wins, and it could go either way. Probably the voters, that sentiment would sway towards Curry, especially taking into consideration all that he's done since Durant went out as well.
Hey, look, we saw it back Super Bowl 41 when the Colts beat the Bears. Peyton Manning had no business winning the MVP of that game, but they gave it to him because it was his first Super Bowl. You could have given it to Dominic Rhodes. You could have given it to Joseph Addai. I think they both had over 100 yards rushing. It was a sloppy game. Manning had a turnover. Like, there was no business for Peyton Manning to get that. So I do think that there is sentiment attached to some of these votes. When they can give it to somebody, you know, tie goes to the guy with the best career path upon getting there. I think you see it all the time in the NBA. All right, guys. Go ahead, Brad.
No, go ahead, Josh.
Okay, so the situation in the NBA, and this has been a big discussion, what's with the ratings? You know, the ratings are down, and what's going on in the league? Are they in trouble, and what is happening? Well, Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, Adam Silver was on the Today Show, and he was talking about the situation with the ratings in the NBA playoffs. Here's what the commissioner had to say regarding LeBron's absence.
LeBron is one of the biggest stars in the world, and he also played in the East, and so, you know, the reason I look a little bit tired is a lot of our games are in the West, and it's late at night, and I recognize most people choose to go to sleep at a reasonable time, and so from a rating standpoint, not having LeBron in the playoffs, not having him in the East has clearly impacted ratings.
Yeah, okay. Just a quick, and again, I don't have my map in front of me. I'm not looking at a globe. We got no internet connection in here right now, so I can't even Google this. Just quick, just curious. The Golden State Warriors play in what state, Brad Powers?
California.
Okay. What time zone is California in?
Pacific.
Okay. So they've been the best team in the NBA the past 5 years, but now all of a sudden people can't stay up late to watch these games. What a bunch of crap. I don't buy this at all. And I don't buy that it's LeBron not being there as the full reason why there's an issue with the ratings in the NBA. What I think it is the coverage of the NBA. The coverage of the NBA is garbage for the most part. I think people during the regular season, all they want to talk about is who's going where in July and not talk about what's happening during the season. If you continue to tell me that the best part of our product is coming up in July, why should I give a crap about it in January, February, March, or April? It doesn't matter. So when the commissioner says stuff like that and then cries that he's got to stay up late to watch games, I don't know what to move the Warriors to Toledo. I don't know what to tell you. Like, this is the way it goes. They're talking about maybe moving up start times. I just think that people are finding every reason to want to blame. Well, it's LeBron and it's this. No. It's the coverage. You sell drama, you don't sell what's on the floor.
And to put in perspective on what Vegas thinks about it, obviously you go to handle. How much are people, is this impacting how much people are betting? to a certain extent, it's not. We've had record handles here in Nevada. But one thing I want to compare it to is football. And last year, there was $1.8 billion, that's with a B, $1.8 billion bet on football. Believe it or not, $1.5 billion bet on basketball. This is college and pro. So there's not that much separation between football and basketball, right? That's probably shocking to a lot of people. Keep in mind, Jonas, there's nearly 10 times as many NBA games, college basketball games are there as there are college right. football and NFL games. So if you're asking me handle on a game, I mean, it's nearly 10 times per game, NFL and college football compared to basketball. And some of it, Fez, you're a guy that's betting most sports almost on a daily basis. What has your interest level been? Has it been the same as what it was 10 years ago with the NBA?
No. I really can't quantify why, but I know any football. Hey, you can put the Alliance of American Football out there, and I'm interested. And for some reason, that NBA just has not captured my fancy. I watch it because it's my job, but I don't know if I'd watch it if it wasn't. And then as far as this late start time, I got to comment on this. And Enos Kanter can back me up because he had to fast until the sun went down. The last four games that Golden State played ended right around 9 p.m. Pacific, not like it was 10:30 p.m. Pacific.
And also, I think this might be a byproduct, Jonas, of you know all the talk shows, the debate shows, because they want to talk storylines and whatnot, and there's not a lot of shows out there talking deep dive analysis on games. So it might be also a byproduct of that, that you know there's all these debate shows, and let's face it, you're going to debate whether or not a team should have went for it on 3rd and 5 in the first quarter of a game, or are you going to talk big picture? And the same obviously goes for the NBA.
And it's also, look, the NFL, it's appointment viewing, and every game feels like a big game. Like even the preseason games for like the first quarter when the starter's in, ooh, your first look at what you got. Like everything feels like a big deal in the NFL. And I just think the NBA has given such, they cut teams so much. Even when you go into the playoffs, if a team loses two games in a row, yeah, big deal. And when they get down 3-0, then we'll really worry about it. In the NFL, you lose two games in the playoffs. Guess what? You didn't get to the second because the first one and you're done. I just think they cut you too much slack. You're allowed to lose more. You're allowed not everything is made to be a big deal. Players sit out all the time. They're resting all the time. Load management was an issue. Like we can all say, well, there's no LeBron, and that's why the ratings have taken a hit. That's garbage. He's not going to be in the league in 3 years. Then what's the excuse going to be? If anything, I actually think no LeBron in this playoffs is a good thing for the future of the NBA, because you had guys like Dame Lillard, Jokic, other players that people weren't familiar with who actually got some love because there was no LeBron. I think we're trying to take the easy way out on this instead of just looking at how the league is covered from a whole. I don't understand it.
I think it's a great point, Jonas. This whole load management, you look at Kawhi Leonard, just goes ahead and takes 22 games off during the season. Who knows if Embiid is going to play? So you've got some of the biggest superstars always uncertain whether or not they're going to play. Basically, not even injury, just rest that you have to be about.
Yeah, and look, Adam Silver's talking about the playoff ratings being down. Let's face it, Zion and Duke was getting better TV yep. ratings during the regular season than the NBA games. So Zion and Duke more interesting than the NBA.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
All right, so we've got a game 5 between the Raptors and the Bucks from Milwaukee, tipping off 8:30 Eastern time on TNT. This series is tied up at 2 games apiece. Steve Fezzik, right now the Milwaukee Bucks on pregame.com are a 7.5-point favorite.
And I like Milwaukee here, Jonas. I bet Milwaukee. It is a home run spot for the Deer here off of a blowout loss. When Milwaukee loses by double digits, they have been money all year long in that role. They're 6-0 straight up, 6-0 against the spread.
And more important, Jonas, is they've covered those games. So when Milwaukee loses by double digits, 10 or more, they get blown out. The next game, they win, they cover, and they cover by 13 points per game.
And further, it's a great bench bounce back spot for Milwaukee. Milwaukee's had a great bench throughout the playoffs, but they had a bad game. Toronto's bench outscored Milwaukee's in game 4 by 25 points. That is an aberration. Prior to that, Milwaukee's bench had been far superior, and I expect them to be far superior tonight.
Yeah, so Milwaukee for the playoffs, their bench had been averaging 38 points per game. Toronto only 24. So you had the third best bench and the second worst bench in all the playoffs. And yet 48-23 when it should be 38-24. Hold on, let me do the math. That's nearly 40 points difference. That maybe explains the 20-point blowout, Fez.
So maybe Freddie Van Vliet will hit all his threes again, but I certainly would not count on it. And further, I think that this is a free roll here because I think this line, it was 6.5. It's up to 7.5. And I think a lot of that reflects these spots that we're talking about. But what I don't think it reflects is a free roll here. And by a free roll, I'm not sure Kawhi is 100%. He's not on the injury report. His coach says he's fine. He says he's fine. His teammates say he's got a lingering injury. Many in the media go as far as to say he's playing on one leg. If Kawhi is not close to 100%, this isn't a good bet. It's a great bet.
Now, Fez, speaking of Kawhi Leonard, Kawhi Leonard has been dealing with what apparently maybe a quad injury, maybe not a quad injury. Not really sure, not on the injury report. But you also have a bonus best bet on this game, and it involves Kawhi.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard under 28 points. I like this bet. Frankly, Jonas, I love this bet. I made this bet, and two reasons that I love this bet. One, as we talked about, is Kawhi 100%? It does not appear that he is, and certainly we've seen his production tailing off the last four games after starting the playoffs great the first nine games. But further, there's been a fundamental change in Toronto's defense. Leonard has been guarding Giannis much more the last two games, and because of that, think about the energy that it takes to guard Giannis. Well, that's going to restrict Giannis, but it's going to compromise Leonard and his ability to score points because of that big bet, Kawhi Leonard, under 28 points.
Yeah, and that's been one of the big adjustments, Jonas. We mentioned this briefly yesterday. Games 1 and 2, Kawhi only guarded Giannis a total of 19 combined possessions. Last two games, Kawhi's been on Giannis a total of 75 possessions, nearly five times as much as he's been covering Giannis. It takes a lot of energy to cover a guy like that. Love this bet, Fez. Under 28 points for Kawhi Leonard.
And also, I would think that the bet on Milwaukee, because Fez, you do like Milwaukee minus the 7 or 7.5, depending on where you get it at, and you like Kawhi under the points. Look, if Milwaukee gets up big in this game, I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that Toronto looks at this and says, look, this game's done. Let's save everybody for game six in what really will be a must-win situation. And if you bench Kawhi Leonard late, you got to like your odds in getting it under 28.
Absolutely. And there is a little bit of what we call correlation with these bets that if Milwaukee does cover the 7.5, like you mentioned, probably more likely I'm going to cash with the Leonard under bet as well.
All right. So we do have a bonus best bet from Brad Powers. If you think we were going to go the whole show without talking NFL, you are dead wrong. Brad Powers, take it away.
Yeah, so a couple of recent news stories has me all over this one. I'm going to take Pittsburgh, the Steelers, to win the AFC North. You can get close to 2-1 on this one. Pittsburgh to win the AFC North. Number one, we're hearing all these stories. Big Ben, he invites over his teammates to the Lake House, something he hasn't been doing in recent seasons. And on top of that, are you going to trust the favorite? Cleveland Browns with a young quarterback, a rookie head coach, a lot of combustible personalities. When the Browns haven't won a division title since 1989, give me the underdog, believe it or not, the Steelers, the team that's dominated this division for the last three decades, Pittsburgh to win the AFC North right around 2-1.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.